This is an NITV radio podcast. For the full program, visit sbs.com.au/NITV radio.
My name's Dr. Stephanie Godrich. I'm a lecturer from the School of Medical and Health Sciences at Edith Cowan University in Perth. My research was looking at child food insecurity in regional and remote Western Australia, and also looking at their fruit and vegetable consumption.
Can you go into depth about the research that you've found so far?
We conducted a mixed methods study across regional and remote WA. So we did pictorial surveys with kids and their parents so we could compare their answers to some of the questions. Kids also filled in food diaries so we could, you know, look at the types of fruit and vegetables that they were consuming. And we also did interviews with key informants or key stakeholders across the state as well. So across most of the WA regions, varying levels of remoteness as well, because we wanted to get a range of different perspectives on the issue of food insecurity, so looking at physical, social, economic access to enough food, and also looking at their fruit and vegetable consumption and talking about the types of things like quantities, quality, you know, types of varieties of fruit and veggies that they were eating.
Lovely. So did you take this research into schools as well?
Yes, so we recruited through WA schools, and so we were out there across the state working with school principals, teachers, and to assist us with data collection as well. And then the interviews were conducted with people like health workers, such as health practitioners, principals, youth workers, and also food supply workers, so people that manage food outlets or farmers markets, those sorts of things.
What is the core issue here?
Well, we found when we were looking at the prevalence of child food insecurity, so not having adequate access to nutritious food, we found that over 20% of children in our sample were classified as food insecure. So they were worried that food at home would run out before their family got money to buy more, or they needed to eat less, for example, because there wasn't enough food as well. But we found in our interviews that, you know, the food supply were really key issues here in terms of adequate availability, you know, cost of food, transport to get to outlets as well was an issue, and really just, you know, not enough variety in some outlets as well.
Okay, so is it really expensive in the remote areas in Australia?
Well, across regional and remote areas, it really does differ in terms of, you know, the location of outlets, how many outlets there were as well. But when we were looking at demographic factors as well that, you know, increased the likelihood of whether a child was food insecure or not, we actually found that living in an area classified as a medium socioeconomic disadvantage, the kids were more than twice as likely to be food insecure compared to people living in the really disadvantaged areas. And we also found that kids whose families received government income support were more than twice as likely to be food insecure too, compared to those whose families didn't receive government income support. So what those sorts of things tell us is that, you know, we suspect with the casualisation of the workforce or the downturn in the mining sector as well, suggests that, you know, people, these families do need more support, and at the moment there's an inadequate social safety net, really.
Okay, so can you explain a little bit more about food insecure?
Yes, so food insecurity is really when you don't have ongoing, reliable, you know, physical, social, economic access to food. And so it's about food quality as well. So the food needs to be, you know, nutritious, able to meet your needs and also your food preferences as well. So the types of questions that we included in our surveys were from an American tool, and that's a more in-depth tool to measure a range of different things around hunger or worry, you know, from the child's perspective. So this was the first study in Australia that we know of to use this particular tool to measure child food insecurity.
Okay, so what are the positive outcomes so far?
Well, we've found that With regards to the food supply, in areas where they received food from a local food supply or the regional level food supply, that really helped to ensure that the food was a higher quality, it was more available, generally a lower cost as well. And things like farmers markets or other direct retail options, people had said that, you know, food was more available as well and better promoted too. But we also found some good examples of food outlets, you know, putting up healthy eating posters that kids had developed. So really trying to promote healthy eating as well and value that and, you know, highlight that as something very positive.
So what about programs and stuff for the children? Would there be like edible gardens as well or community gardens?
Yes, there are a number of different programs that operate, and our other research has shown that people did, you know, talk very favourably of community gardens and school gardens, and they were suggested to, because they're really hands-on and they're showing kids that, or you know, the kids are experiencing that sort of paddock-to-plate concept. If there's cooking involved as well, that can be really useful kind of outdoor classrooms for kids to learn a lot about the food system, but also those cooking and nutrition skills as well. So that was something that was positively discussed in this study too, and there are lots of different programs that operate.
What are the thoughts coming out of the community for, with the children, this research?
Well, people were talking about, you know, they were concerned about this as an issue. And so, you know, there is a need to better understand the issue, to have published information available for people to be able to use in advocacy or, funding for certain programs as well. And I know that, you know, a range of practice-based organisations are keen to have these findings that support the importance of that experiential learning, so those hands-on cooking and nutrition education programs, but also that, you know, we do need to be doing more advocacy to try to ensure that we get more regional level or local level food systems happening. But also in Western Australia, local government authorities are needing to develop public health plans, and so some shires have already started, but others are yet to do that. So we're trying to advocate for the food security really to be included in local public health plans, because they need to reflect community concerns and issues and things that they want to focus on. So we would like to see strategies to help improve food security, such as more healthy food outlets or other things like community gardens and school gardens and things in the built environment that help support families to be able to access better quality food.
This was an NITV radio podcast. For more, visit sbs.com.au/NITV Radio or download the SBS Radio app.